Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
That's still the standard now that more Americans have died under President Biden than President Trump.
I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
Far more unwilling we should be, whether that case is right or wrong.
But let me say this. I don't know if President Trump and I will ever see eye to eye on that day.
Would there be any public health benefit to furthering spread?
You're talking about something really dangerous.
Do me a favor, cut the music. Thank you.
Yeah, so that was Fofo Fauci there having a little bit of conflict with a reporter who apparently wanted to discuss, well, you know, what about my own body reacting to this? If people get it, doesn't it help boost your own immune system? And apparently that was not met well with Dr. Fauci, because that would undermine their attempt to get everybody vaccinated with a vaccine that may or may not protect you from what's coming. We don't know, right, at this point. So it is Thursday. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us this morning. Still ahead, we're going to get to this possible government shutdown and what the real impact of that might be, in case you didn't notice the last time it happened. That's at about 8:37. We're going to get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. First of all, though, I want to play the soundbite yesterday from the St. Louis County Interim Police Chief. Carl, please.
I would say good evening, but it's not been a good evening. At about 2:20 this evening, we had one of our officers, Detective Antonio Valentine, was killed in a vehicle accident with another vehicle. The other driver of the vehicle is also deceased. The other detective that was with Antonio Valentine, he's been treated for injuries and he's been released from the hospital. Obviously, it's a very sad day for this department to lose an officer. His family's been notified. They're aware of everything. And what I ask of you all now is to just grieve with us, support the family for all that they're going through. And we'll get through this the best that we can. Like I said, Tony's been with us since 1993.
They said this morning that he had been with the department since 2007.
Yeah, 2007.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
stories that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know where that last part came from, but that was Acting County Police Chief Kenneth Gregory there talking about that. This happened up in Bell Fountain Neighbors, and they believe the person that hit him was the drug suspect that they were responding to, because Detective Valentine was part of the drug task force, the drug unit. And it was just a cop's cop, according to a friend of mine who's on the department. And people were just torn up about this last night. He was a veteran, a combat veteran, had just retired from the Air Force Reserves. And his uncle apparently is a police officer with the St. Louis MPD, I'm told. So our condolences go out to his family. You know, here we just get done with the fundraiser for Backstoppers with Guns and Hoses. And they raised a lot of money. And now you understand that was the fun and games part of it, was getting together and raising money for Guns and Hoses. This is the painful part of it, when Backstoppers is needed and they're there. They went to this family. Not that this matters to the family, but I'm sure it was some comfort, and wrote them a check for $10,000 to handle immediate needs. And then they're going to go in and start talking about debt and paying that off and college tuition for kids. And I mean, it's what they do over there is just tremendous. I can't say enough about them. I do want to tell you this story, though, quickly. I want to repeat this. I said this earlier this morning. My friend called me last night and told me that a bunch of officers were gathering at their FOP, Fraternal Order of Police headquarters, out in Manchester, off Baxter Road, and that there were probably 24 officers there at the time. This had just happened. Officer Valentine had just died, I believe, at Barnes Hospital. And, you know, many of them knew and worked with him. He'd been on the force for 14 years. There was a big gathering out there, and my friend said, do you know anybody who might be willing to send some food out here? And the first person I thought of was my friend Rosanna Spino. She's probably embarrassed that I'm telling you this because she wouldn't want to take any credit for it. But I called her up, and I told her what was going on, and about an hour later, Roseanne delivered a ton of food to those police officers last night who were gathering to remember Antonio Valentine. I want her to get some credit for that, although she probably might not want to take that credit. She drove it out there herself, had it prepared in her restaurant, Espino's Mexican restaurant there in Chesterfield, and she drove it to those officers and dropped it off in person last night. So there are great people around. Roseanne Espino is one of them. Show her some love. Stop by her restaurant and show her that we appreciate what she did there, as always. I'm going to get to a quick break here, and we'll get to your phone calls coming up at 314-241-9797. I want to let you hear more on that that soundbite from Dr. Fauci, and also what Cori Bush, our esteemed first congressional member, a first district congressional member, had to say yesterday about the SCOTUS abortion decision. It sounds to me like, and it may not be Cori Bush, some of these Democrats are basically making threats now if they don't get the ruling they want in this abortion case. So we're gonna talk about that coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Carl, have you lost your mind?
I just like making you hear these songs that you know.
But he doesn't like them.
I don't listen to Britney Spears.
But here's how I'm going to make you feel old, Mark. Brit is 40 today.
Wow. And finally in control of her own money.
Yes.
It's about time.
40!
Oh, my goodness. There you go. All right. That's about enough of that. Pot it down, please. I don't need any of that.
Hey, go to that Senator Jeanne Shaheen bite. This was her reaction yesterday to basically threaten justices on the United States Supreme Court, in my opinion, if they don't vote the way she wants them to vote on the Roe v. Wade precedent. Listen.
This infringement on women's rights, on our privacy, on the attempt to have state control of our personal health, really is what we would see in an authoritarian state. It's not what we would expect in New Hampshire. I think if you want to see a revolution, go ahead, outlaw Roe v. Wade and see what the response is of the public, particularly young people.
If you want to see a revolution. So the left is now threatening, putting on the Supreme Court on this vote, revolution in the United States if they overturn bad law, bad precedent. I mean, that's how ridiculous the left is. I saw another article that said if they dare to overturn Roe, it will increase the volume on demands that we stack the Supreme Court, that the liberals will try to go in and add 6 liberal justices to try to fix the court. Well, the problem is you would have to have a court case that they would be hearing that would then allow them to reinstate the precedent of Roe, I would imagine, which would mean they would be overruling the new precedent that would be set by outlawing Roe. Are you following me here? That's how far they've gone to the left. Listen to, we got the brain surgeon. They found her. They tracked her down. It wasn't very hard. She was outside of Congress yesterday. Cori Bush commenting on this Supreme Court case. Go to cut 17.
You know, I feel like we always have to fight for the things that we shouldn't even have to ask for. And this is just another one of those moments. How we push down is going to affect what happens, you know, what we're looking at in 10 years and 50 years. So we have to do this work now. We just... The Supreme Court, this cannot be a partisan thing. This cannot be a partisan decision, you know. But I'm just so grateful and so thankful for all the advocates, all the activists,
oh my God,
all the
make it stop.
That have come out
make it
to
stop.
Stand, and to speak out against this because, you know, our bodies are choices.
How you feeling about that mandate, Corey? Do you just want to keep asking that? Your body, your choice. How you feeling about that mandate? Remember she got up and she cried talking about the abortion that she'd had? I'm not saying that it wasn't a hard decision for her. I'm just saying this is not, talk about a partisan issue. It's threatening revolution if the Supreme Court doesn't rule the way you want them to rule. Or saying that you're going to have to go in and stack the court if they don't rule the way you want them to rule. But their heads are about to blow off because... Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett were asking questions yesterday that they didn't like. I love this one by Justice Clarence Thomas. Go to cut 5, please.
I know your interest here is in abortion. I understand that. But if I were to ask you what constitutional right protects the right to abortion, is it privacy? Is it autonomy? What would it be?
It's liberty, Your Honor. It's the textual protection in the 14th Amendment that a state can't deprive a person of liberty without due process of law. And the court has interpreted liberty to include the right to make family decisions and the right to physical autonomy, including the right to end a previability pregnancy.
Yeah, so she quoted Roe there. Liberty, the autonomy of your body. She was with, by the way, the Center for Reproductive Rights, in case you're wondering. But Justice Thomas asks a fair question because the argument against Roe all these years has been that it is supporting, it's calling for a constitutional protection that isn't there, is the argument that people have been making about this. So... that is going to come in. Maybe we go to the 14th Amendment then to fight the vaccine mandate, if she's right. Let me get to Robert here on line one. Robert, I got a couple minutes. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mark. So I have a burning question here. Fauci says, when he's asked by Peter Ducey about the border and all the vaccinations and the requirements, and he says, Fauci says, oh, that's a different story. Yeah. Why does it end there? Why doesn't Peter Ducey sack up and say no? This is bull. Put his feet to the fire. Call him out. My problem and what I have a hard time wrapping my head around is why did the question stop?
It did go on.
I watch the shows.
Yeah.
I hear the conversations. I hear every, you know, they're airing it. They're talking about it, but not at the moment, not at that time. Why doesn't Peter Ducey say, no, you need to explain yourself on that because it just stops.
Well, I don't get that. Well, the soundbite we use stopped, but that exchange did go on for a little bit. Do we have that, Carl? We have time to play it? Go ahead and play it.
Has you advised the president about the possibility of new testing requirements for people coming into this country? Does that include everybody?
The answer is yes, because you know that the new regulation, if you want to call it that, is that anybody and everybody who's coming into the country needs to get a test within 24 hours of getting on the plane to come here.
Well, what about people who don't take a plane and just these border crossers coming in huge numbers?
You know, that's a different issue. For example, when you talk, we still have Title 42 with regard to protection at the border. So there are protections at the border that you don't have the capability, as you know, of somebody getting on a plane, getting checked, looking at a passport. We don't have that there, but we can get some degree of mitigation.
Is there something to do to test these people somewhere else?
There is testing at the border under certain circumstances, as you know.
So he did follow up a little bit, Robert. Did you hear that?
Oh, I heard that. And okay, so he did follow up a little bit, but my biggest question is, maybe I could rephrase it. Why doesn't anybody call him out?
I agree. Where's the rest of the media?
You are full of crap. Yeah. You are full of crap. All know it's business. We all know it's about control. We all know that, you know, you can go into a restaurant, wear a mask, sit down, take it off, but a kid can't go into a classroom, walk through the classroom with a mask on, sit down, and take it off.
Yeah.
There's really something wrong, and we all know that, but it's just not being called out.
Where's the accountability? Robert, thank you for the question, and it is a good one. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jared Halperin on the possible government shutdown.
Revealing that President Trump tested positive for COVID 3 days before your first debate. Do you think the former president put you at risk?
I don't think about the former president.
Mr.
Thank
president.
You.
Anybody raise your hand if you believe that Joe Biden doesn't think.
Not a chance.
About Donald Trump. I think Trump owns some Trump real estate in that head. I really do. That was because of a new book Mark Meadows has got out. Now, we had Mark on talking about it the other day, but I didn't have a preview copy of the book. Apparently, there's a chapter in there where he says that a couple days before one of their debates with Biden, President Trump tested positive for COVID and then took a second different test and tested negative. And now everybody's up in arms that he somehow put Joe Biden at risk because they didn't disclose that at the time. But Meadows didn't seem to make that big of a deal out of in his book, but they're making a deal out of it. So they asked him that question yesterday, if he felt that President Trump had somehow put him at risk. I don't know. Just wanted you to have a little background on that. Hey, by the way, the government might shut down shortly if they don't get something fixed by Friday. We've asked Jared Halperin to join us this morning from Fox News Radio. Jared, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So all of the tongues are wagging in Washington right now about what's going to happen, and all of the media coverage I see on some other national networks is that it's the Republicans' fault because they are trying to make some, last-minute wording changes? Is that correct?
Well, there's a group. It's a pretty small group of Senate Republicans led by Senator Marshall who want the CR, the short-term spending bill, to prevent any sort of vaccine mandate from the Biden administration.
Okay.
They think that this is leverage that they have, and they are threatening. There's not much they can do. They don't really have the votes to prevent the funding bill from passing, but what they can do is slow this down to where there would be a government shutdown at least for a couple of days, because the House is probably going to pass this thing today. We got the CR text, as we call it, out this morning. It would extend current government funding into the middle of February, kind of a middle ground where Republicans wanted a longer-term deal, Democrats wanted a shorter-term deal. They kind of met in the middle of February. House has the votes. They'll probably pass that, like I said, this week or today. But in the Senate, there are a lot of procedures that require a lot of time. You have cloture votes. You have 30 hours between cloture votes. So if they don't get unanimous consent, agreement from all 100 senators to basically blow past those requirements and fast track this bill, there would be a shutdown over the weekend into early next week. So the question is whether Mitch McConnell can kind of talk a few of his members off the ledge here and see if he can work some sort of an agreement out where maybe they take a vote or something that would allow them to move forward with this bill today or tomorrow.
So what I'm hearing is that you believe, or you, based on your reporting, that McConnell has 10 Republicans that would vote for cloture.
I think
right
he's
now
probably got way more than 10.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
Honestly, it is really just a handful, maybe 4 or 5 Republicans who have sort of presented this. This option to block fast tracking.
I see. Okay.
And the argument against it that, you know, I've heard from Republicans and Republican leaders is we don't have to. The courts have already done this. The courts have blocked these mandates.
Yeah, two different courts,
so,
right? Yeah.
What?
Two different
a
courts.
Few courts. I think
yeah.
9 or 10 different courts.
Okay.
On various challenges, right? At the federal, at the district level, at the appeals level, and so. That's been their argument. They also, listen, optics are important in Washington, and I think that there is a view that from an optics standpoint, they don't really want to get blamed for a shutdown where we're dealing with inflation, while there's a supply chain shortage near the holidays with an Omicron variant emerging in this country.
Yeah. No, I it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hey, Jared, can I ask you another question? And I know we didn't we didn't prep this in advance. So if you don't know the answer, that's just fine. I learned this morning about a vote in the House on H.R. 550, Immunization Infrastructure and Modernization Act, where about 80 Republicans and all of the Democrats voted for this, and 130 Republicans voted against it. It's about some sort of a database they want to put together on vaccines. Have you heard anything about this?
I haven't.
Okay.
I can look into it. Yeah. I know that there are federal record-keeping requirements, you know, with other vaccination programs. And it sounds like this was voted on what we call suspension, which usually means that it is a quick debate in the House. And the caveat is you need 2/3 majority to pass it.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder.
You need a supermajority, in other words.
I've been trying to get some of our local congresspeople on this morning, and none have been available to me so far to kind of explain
I apologize.
What it is.
I apologize for not being more prepared.
Well, no, I should have warned you in advance. I just thought maybe it was something that had popped up there in D.C., and people were could maybe explain it more to me, because it sounds like a database where you can look and see who hasn't had the vaccine. And I think that's probably attracted the attention of those of us on the conservative side, wondering why in the world they would need something like that. But I don't have a great explanation of it so far. So that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure what it does. Again, it sounds I was listening to Supreme Court arguments yesterday and then trying to make sense of a lot of the spending stuff. But it sounds like something that we should look into. I'll see what I can report.
I appreciate that. Did you hear anything in those Supreme Court arguments yesterday that would lead you to believe that they're definitely going one way or the other? I mean, I listened to some of the clips this morning, but I didn't listen to the actual debate.
I always try and send a caveat to people that you don't want to make too much out of what you hear in Supreme Court arguments, because justices sometimes are asking questions just to sort of learn information and take arguments down maybe a natural path to a conclusion. That being said, what piqued my interest was the questioning and some of the comments made by Chief Justice John Roberts, who has a reputation for trying to sometimes broker a more nuanced middle ground approach on some of these bigger precedent-setting cases. And he made a big deal in his questioning of both attorneys about why this viability standard is so important, and why couldn't you roll it back to, say, a 15-week standard, which is what the Mississippi law does. Now, the viability standard is what Roe has outlined. A state can't prohibit abortions pre-viability. In other words, when the fetus is viable outside of the womb, right? And that's about 23, 24 weeks. So this would roll that back. And he made a couple of suggestions that if it's 15 weeks, you would still have the ability to have choice to terminate a pregnancy. The argument that was made on the other side was that if the court doesn't make that clear, then you're going to have states that, you know, maybe have a 6-week ban, an 8-week ban, a 10-week ban, and that would be the elimination of the right of abortion that was outlined in Roe. So I think that you heard justices that were clearly trying to wrestle with the idea of, if we change the standard from viability to something else, what is that something else? Do we need a standard beyond something else? And it was clear from particularly the more liberal justices like Sonia Sotomayor that there is no reason to change Roe, that nothing has changed, she argued, other than the composite of the court.
Yeah.
And that if you make changes to precedent because of the composite of the court, you are undermining the legitimacy of the court.
I played that one of those bites from her a bit earlier. Yeah, thanks for your insight on all that. I appreciate it. Jared Halpern, we appreciate you. Take care. Yep, Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern there. He listened to all those debates yesterday, and we'll get into a little more of that. Sounds like John Roberts is trying to determine if it's a fee or a tax. Remember the legal pretzel he twisted himself into to justify Obamacare? I don't know. I don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Fortunately, we don't need John Roberts' vote here. So I'm hopeful that the other justices see that clearly. We know how three of them are going to vote all the time.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about this H.R. 550 that I brought up to Jared Halpern. I'll read it to you, and you tell me if I'm misunderstanding it. I've reached out to Ann Wagner. We'll try to get to Blaine Lutkemeyer and Jason Smith as well. Smith voted no. Lutkemeyer and Wagner both voted yes on this. I want to find out what it's about. We'll be right back.
I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
So is it Dave Murray saying that we do have a chance of snow on Christmas this year?
Yeah, I thought I remember a few weeks ago I'm predicting a potentially white Christmas.
So
70 degrees today.
I don't know about you, but I'm very happy with this global warming we're experiencing currently. I just have to say that.
I golfed yesterday in shirt sleeves, and today it's going to be in the 70s, and it's probably going to be crazy on the golf course again. So enjoy yourself. Enjoy it while it lasts, just in case. Hey, just quickly before I get to my guest here, I just want to go over this one more time. I mentioned this earlier, this H.R. 550, during our interview with Jared Halpern. This is the title of this bill, Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021. But here's what it does. It builds a population-based database to maintain a record of vaccines. So the way I read it, it creates a vaccine database. And you think to yourself, well, that's okay. They could type your name in and see that you've had the vaccine. My argument is that's not what it's for. My question is, don't they want it to find out who hasn't been vaccinated? So you can kind of be segregated. What I want to know why 80 Republicans voted for this. And maybe somebody can explain it to me. Hopefully we're going to get one of the congressmen on tomorrow to kind of explain this. We've put feelers out, and hopefully, unlike Senator Hawley's office, we'll get some response to that. What do you think, Carl? We're going to try. So hopefully tomorrow morning on the show, we can get you a few answers. Maybe we'll get Jason Smith on here. He voted no. So I'd love to hear Jason's reasons for voting no on that particular bill. We'll get to all that coming up. Hey, by the way, we gave away tickets to this at one point, but you still have an opportunity to go see that big light display that you can kind of drive through over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Our friend Emily Fleenor is on the phone with us this morning. She is with Wonderlights Christmas. And Emily, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, this thing is huge, isn't it? How many lights you got over there at Worldwide Technology?
Oh, gosh, everybody asked me that question. I mean, who's going to sit out there and count all those lights? Suffice it to say, there's millions of lights out here on the property at Worldwide Technology Raceway.
Yeah, millions and millions and millions.
So you're open every night now through the new year, correct?
Well, actually, we're open every single night until January 9th. So, yeah, we're open until the new year and beyond. And it's so excited to have people out this season.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's raining or the weather doesn't matter. I mean, the lights are going to be on, obviously, right? You come by the carload, you buy your tickets. All the ticket sales are online.
Well, yeah, we have tickets online at wonderlightschristmas.com. We're open every single night, rain, shine, or snow. So no matter what's going on outside, it's a drive-through experience. So you stay cozy in your car, you know, no getting the kids out in the cold. And we are offering some tickets at the gate. If you show up on a Monday through Thursday, we almost always have tickets at the gate.
Oh, cool.
Weekends you might want to prepare for. So
yeah. That way you just drive through.
A little busier.
Almost 2 miles. I mean, I know the kids love it. I've seen video of the lights out there, and I haven't been over there myself yet, but it looks like a great time, and you got music piped in through your car stereo. Who could ask for more, right?
Exactly. Yeah, our show is fully synchronized to music. My favorite part is walking through the show at night and listening to kids hanging out the sunroof singing along to the radio. It's just magic. It's magic. That's
well,
all it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's wonderlightschristmas.com. Wonderlightschristmas.com is the website. You can go on there. You can buy your tickets in advance. But as you just heard Emily say, there is an opportunity in the middle of the week there that you could actually buy some at the gate if you wanted to go out there. And it's we all know Worldwide Technology Raceway. Our friends at Bomarito have been running the Bomarito 500 over there, and it's a fantastic facility. So, Emily, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You bet. Merry Christmas to you. Emily Fleenor there from Wonderlights Christmas. And just wanted to remind you again of what's going on. It's a fun time. Something to do with the family. You can buy your tickets online and go drive through and make the kids happy. And then your life's easier, right? Mm-hmm.
Sounds
Everybody
fun.
Wants their life easier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean,
and you're, you know, and you have all these people coming into town. You're like, what should we do tonight?
What can we do?
Hey.
Good idea.
Yeah. Boom. It's a good one. It's what millions and millions.
How many lights are there, Mark? Say.
Don't ask me that.
Billions. Billions of lights are on display. We don't know how many because we haven't counted all of them, but there's enough to cover a two-mile track. Let's put it that way. A two-mile course, I should say. You're not on the racetrack. Don't take me the wrong way there. All right. We will try to get some congressional answers for you tomorrow morning on Friday morning on the program. Coming up, Brian Kilmeade, and then, of course, the Annie Fry Show, followed up by Mark Reardon. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 5. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.